There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on a Monday. Glad to have y'all along. A couple things here as we get started. Number one, the phone number and the text line, right? You're familiar with that. 343-0106. If you're new around here, 251 and welcome. 251-343-0106 gets you through on a phone call or our very popular text line, same digits. Also with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you have yet another way to use the TalkBack feature. When you open up the app there, there'll be a microphone icon on the bottom of the screen. If you'll press that, lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and we can play it back here on the air as well. A couple other updates till we till next week. I'm riding pretty high, 75 now, out of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of y'all in college. Pick 'em, 11-9 for Coker Deep Ball there, which has been my handle since way back when we started the we started the College Pick 'em Challenge here. And once again, I do need to tell y'all that like Dalton and Dan and Jeff and I are all in there. We can't win the prize. We're in there just to trash talk. Like, we can't win this great prize from Spring Hill Ace Hardware, over $1,500 in great tailgating and grilling stuff. We don't win the prize. We're just in the mix just to start trouble. But yeah, just 72. I was 90 something last week, moved up to 72. So competition's out there. There's some of y'all that are amazing with your picks that have been in the top 10 for 2 weeks in a row. I'm impressed. Also, we're not talking about today's show, but I did do some research here. No fox spotting this weekend. I was on Dolphin Island. We camped in the boat, anchored up, but not on the west end this time because we had that big north wind coming. We anchored on the south side there, but no fox spotting this trip. So we'll start that conversation probably later in the week and get that all riled up. But did have a great trip, and big shout out to everybody on Dolphin Island. It was a great weekend down there. Good to see so many of y'all. All right, and now we get started with our guest this hour. And he is joining us to talk about a lot here. Of course, he is officially announced his campaign, running for AL1, a job that he's familiar with. Jerry Carl joins us in studio. Good to see you.
Great to see you.
It was a college football weekend. I'm 11-9 right now. So I almost could go to Vegas and set up my own shingle, hang out my own shingle, don't you?
The Alabama game was crazy. I did get to watch it. We had a supper club. We got a group that's been meeting for suppers for about 40 years.
Wow.
Husbands and wives. It's pretty cool. We do it once a month, and it's...
Y'all haven't tired of each other at all?
No, not at all.
Good.
No, we're best friends.
That's good, because sometimes you see people that'll be like in their 20s, newly married, they'll be friend groups, and then you talk to them down the road and say, well, how's, you know, Bob and Shirley? Oh, I hadn't seen them in years.
Well, we go to church together. We do, you know, we just do a lot together. We're very interactive.
So y'all watched the beatdown?
We did. We
Kellen DeBoer trying to save his job.
I had to leave and drive back home. I had a Sunday morning thing I had to do, but it was quite a game. Auburn game was a great game.
It was.
You know, Auburn, yeah. Auburn should be very proud of what their outcome also.
Yeah. So there you go.
And I'll be at the Auburn South game this year. This next week.
That's coming. In South, it was a shame. I thought we could have gotten all three of them, but this last weekend was not South's weekend.
I hated that because I love going to South, at the Jag Stadium. Oh, my gosh. That place just flows so well. The engineering there, they put a lot of thought into that place. So.
And it's crazy as a kid that grew up just down the street from there, of the campus, to have it now with the stadium. I mean, well, when football even started, and then stadium on campus and all that, the big growth there.
Yeah, we helped raise money for that county commission.
Okay.
So we everybody participated in that, but obviously Abe Mitchell did the most, mm-hmm. but you know, thus his name's on it. But,
that's how you get your name on stuff.
Well, okay. That's okay.
Use your name.
Hey, if somebody wants to donate, you know, $3 billion, I'll put their name on the Bayway.
Well, I've said that so many times. We named the I-10 Mobile River Bridge Project after somebody. I don't care.
I think the Donald Trump bridge is just...
Cut the check and we got you.
I'll bring that up to him after I win.
Say, listen.
After I win, I'll bring that up to him.
Say, listen, we got an idea down here. It's marketing. You love marketing, don't you, Donald? Yeah. Here it is. Your name's going to be there. It'll be there forever. See, it's your legacy.
Good point.
See?
I hope somebody's listening and get to it before I do.
Use those terms. It'll be good. All right. A lot to talk about, of course, if people have been, were not listening before last month. It is official now.
It is. We are running. The primary will be May the 19th, 2026. Everybody says, well, you're getting started early. You have to. You know, it takes a lot of ground game, takes a lot of money, it takes a lot of everything. And, of course, now, between now and January, into January is the time you're putting everything together. After January, it's just pure campaigning events.
What does that mean? Like, between now and January, you're putting things together after that? So what?
Well, we're still speaking at every event we can, and anything we can get ourselves invited to. But we're putting things together. You're putting people together, you know, runs a ground game, people that are willing to work. To make phone calls, I've got probably 100 ladies that have volunteered to make phone calls that we'll use after January. You have to get a group to help put signs up. You know,
okay, so you're kind of building your team,
the mechanics,
right?
Mechanics, yeah. Okay. And then at the same time, you're raising money too. This month will be a big month for us because it will kind of give us an idea of our budget that we'll actually set in October.
Okay, so this is, and then January, it's. Full-time campaign.
But yeah, and December is kind of a wash because, you know, Christmas being, everybody's mm-hmm. focused on Christmas. But we go to a lot of Christmas parties and try to get in a lot of Christmas parades. So we do what we can do between now and January. But after January, it gets serious. And most people don't pay any of attention. Us politicos watch it every day.
Mm-hmm.
But most, you know, the average guy working
100%
a week out, 2 weeks out, he'll start looking.
Yeah, I realize, too, when people come to me and ask me questions, even like on the municipal side, you know, we were talking about the Mobile, you know, here, and even maybe before May, but June, July, about beginning of August, people say, hey, Sullivan, what do you think about, you know, this mayor's race coming up? I'm like,
I had three friends text me the day of the election wanting to know who to vote for mayor.
The day of the election.
The day of the election.
So there you go. Case, you make your case. There's a lot to talk about this hour. I want to go back first here and something that was discussed, you know, when you were coming in from Washington talking about this with me, Space Command, and this process of what now, and I want to get to some questions about how many bricks have to be laid before they can't take it away. Mm-hmm. But the process was, because there was some confusion here, that it was Huntsville, then went to Colorado Springs, now back to Huntsville. Is that the right?
I think it has switched at least twice.
Okay. And it depended on who was in office, right? And so now with the announcement from President Trump, going to be at Redstone Arsenal in Huntsville. I know this sounds silly, but I've watched this enough. Now, how many bricks have to be laid? How many parking spots need to be striped before they can't take it away? Does that make sense? Like,
you'll see Robert Adderholt on the appropriation side put a package together and, of course, sent it up to the Senate. It will, of course, Katie will pick it up and mm-hmm. the appropriations in the Senate, and we'll get it passed that way. You know, the unsung hero here is Mike Rogers. Mike Rogers has done it all. He had the idea of the Space Force. That he shared with McCarthy. I know I've told you that deal. McCarthy's told it to the president.
Tell the story.
He's flying with McCarthy, and he's frustrated because he kept giving Air Force money because he's appropriate Armed Service Committee, and he keeps giving Air Force year after year money to start something in space because he understands the importance of it. And Air Force, just like every other branch, finds ways of spending it on something else. So he's complaining to McCarthy. He says, McCarthy, we need to start.
This is when McCarthy was Speaker.
Yeah, when McCarthy was Speaker, he says, we need to start a Space Force. You know, we'll call it Space Force, you know, just for the sake of conversation. And so the next plane McCarthy gets on is with then-candidate Donald Trump.
Okay.
And he tells Donald Trump, says, you know, Mike Rogers is telling me we need to start the Space Force. So the next convention, the next speaking engagement he's at, and he goes, and we're going to start this new thing called Space Force.
And that's how quickly
Mike
it happened.
Mike Rogers is the reason we have Space Force, period. Period.
Wow. So it went from Mike Rogers to Speaker McCarthy, and then just in very short order, McCarthy's with Trump.
All within 24 hours. And then when Trump
I didn't know that whole story.
When Trump threw it out there, it become a thing. When I first got elected, I went over to Space Force, and there were two employees in Space Force. There was a general that was running it and his secretary.
Wow.
So that was it. That was Space Force. But now it has grown something. And from an intel standpoint, it's much larger and much needed. So thank you,
because we got Space
Congressman
Force.
Mike Rogers.
And that's a great story. I did not know that one. That's how quickly it came up. Now, Space Command that's going to run Space Force, you know, move
right.
it. They've had some time to grow in Colorado Springs, but it sounds like, you know, just looking at when they can't take it away. I've been joking about this is the last brick and they won't be able to take it away. But I imagine when you get those people moving from Colorado Springs into Huntsville and getting settled, it'll probably be harder for
once you get that money locked in, they'll start spending it quickly.
Okay,
because we kept money from going to Colorado. You know, I was involved in the Space Force too. I'm not going to take credit for it.
I remember we talked about it a bunch.
Yeah,
this is why I'm bringing it up.
But on the preparation side, we were doing everything we could do to keep money from going to Space Force in Colorado.
Right.
Because we knew it was going to change back. We knew it. We just didn't want them to get money. The building they were actually in Colorado, they're still in it, is an ex-IBM building, and it has zero intel communications in it. So you can stand outside with a listening device and listen to every conversation inside.
Well, that's not ideal.
Well, and that was the whole point of the conversation, but, you know, it was convenient for them to pick it up.
I mean, they would have, they were going to try to build out there, but I know that the, you know, stories that I read, the people in the know there said, and this was unbiased, I think, it wasn't even political, checking the boxes and the metrics, Huntsville and Redstone served them better than Colorado Springs.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Looking for a building to put whatever in.
They had three studies in it. Alabama finished in, Huntsville finished first in all three, and Colorado finished in fifth in all three. So there's no doubt Alabama's a better choice. No doubt.
So, but you feel, because you know, the White House changes, that by the end of, you know, we got three and a half years,
less than that. Say 3 years. We'll have dirt moving before then.
Okay. All right. Because I
feel that way.
Do you understand? Because I think my question is like regular people, like we've seen it go back and forth and back and forth. So how much you got to get
built?
We
saw it with a fueling tanker here at Mobile.
You know, you bring that up. You bring that up, Jerry. We, you know, you and I talked about it a bunch. Yeah, you know my late father and the stories he told me when he told me, boy, it's not coming here. And my dad worked in that field, and he said, you know, it's not coming here. I'm like, no, Dad, our tanker is better and this and that. He said, okay. Kind of patted me on the head. He said, son, what's, you know, within us getting off the plane at Reagan National, how far do we have to walk till we see a Boeing sign? He said, do you know how many Boeing people are assigned to people in the Pentagon? He kind of laid it out to me back then.
Yeah.
But here we sit, and Boeing, an American company, I want them to have the better product, but they haven't.
Yeah, they've really struggled.
Right? They get the contract, and they're still not.
I don't think we have a product that works 100% on.
Y'all remember how far back that was? I mean, and we still don't have.
Yeah, that goes back 13, 14, mm-hmm. maybe even 15 years.
Absolutely.
So
we still don't have it, even though. The ones made by Airbus that are employed in, I think, some of the European armies.
Yep. We're refueling behind those.
We are using those.
Yeah.
So we're currently using the technology
that belongs to somebody else.
Yes. we have somebody else's military. Yeah. And we're refueling up their
plane. My guess is the French refueling tankers that we're refueling behind in Europe.
Is that water under the bridge that is never coming back? Boeing's got the contract.
I've never given up on that. I've argued that on the floor. I've argued it House Armed Service Committee so much. I figured they would take a contract out on me at some point, place, and time, because I wanted an investigation into it. Why have we waited 12, 13 years for a product to be delivered?
Yeah, there has to be a certain
point. That doesn't work.
Right.
I mean, the president's plane they've been building for 10 years. One plane.
We'll talk more about that when we come back. Jerry Carl, our guest this hour on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along on this Monday. Our guest, Congressman Jerry Carl, campaigning for the poorly drawn AL-1. That's me editorializing. I did want to keep, we talked about building things. I want to come back to some maritime stuff, but you and I were talking before the show started about a work visa idea here.
So it's an idea I've had for years. So I finally wrote it up. And polished it up good. Okay. I got it to Alpha to look at. They agreed with it. I got it to the Home Builders Association. I've not heard from the Home Builders States yet, but I can't imagine them having a problem with it. And I got it to delivered to the president on Tuesday of last week. So hopefully we'll see him because it needs to be done under an executive order. But it works this way. If someone wants to work in the United States, first of all, you give them a 30 or 60-day notice to get out of the country if they're going to participate in this. Because if we have to catch them and ship them out, they cannot participate in this. So you're going to have a mass exodus of people trying to get out. That's what we want.
So you got
to
be out.
You got to be out. You can come to the border. You can pay $1,000 for a work visa. That's just a figure I come up with. It could be $100. It could be $10,000. Whatever the president decides it's going to be. We'll sell them a work visa, do a simple background check. If they come back in clean, they get a work visa for X amount of dollars, and then they can go and work in the U.S. for 11 months only.
Okay, so less than a year.
Right.
Then what
they
do they do?
They have to go out. They have to go back to their point of origin, which is their home. And then after a month out, they can come back and do it again. So you see companies you see companies like the Mitsubishi, I think was the one. No, the Hyundai.
The Georgia
plant. Battery.
Yeah.
You know, the 250 illegal immigrants there. Well, they're hiding behind an employment agency. We can do away with all that. Mitsubishi can actually make an agreement and have 250 people meet them at the border. Send a bus down there to pick them up. Pay their $1,000 each and bring them in. Let them work 11 months and then get them back out. And our farm community, my gosh, our farm community needs it. So we can rotate these people and get them in to do these skilled jobs, pouring concrete, framing houses, putting on shingles. You know, when you talk about the unemployment rate that has spiked up a little bit, I honestly believe that's all these people leaving these jobs.
And
we're claiming, you know, they're claiming unemployment. They're trying to claim unemployment. I honestly believe that's that spike we're seeing. I can't document it, but I'll guarantee you they're counted in those numbers.
You know, I thought about that. Yeah, I didn't think about that. I thought about that angle some. I did think about it broadly. I've told everybody the unfortunate truth of fiscal policy. When you have inflation, the way to deal with it is people losing their jobs. I know it's hard for people to hear, but that's how when you keep interest rates high or raise them, you make it to where people end up losing their jobs. Then inflation comes down, you start over again. I looked at that unemployment rate going up. I said, well, maybe this is the fact that the good news is inflation may come down, but it may just be that spike. And I mean, there's a whole bunch of jobs here that are empty.
Oh gosh,
in South Alabama.
Just look at the slabs being poured by these contractors. They can't get them poured fast enough because there's just no people to do it. I think this simple plan
that
I put together.
Are there people not to do it, though? The tough question, are there people not to do it or the people that won't do it at that price, right? That's been the old argument that if you get rid of the illegal immigrants, then the market will change and, you know, there are people here.
Do you know what an H-2B visa worker makes? $16.02 an hour.
Okay.
That's good. They get health care and they get fed and they get housing too. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's bad pay considering everything else is covered.
Yeah, people have made this argument before when they say there are jobs Americans won't do, but if they won't do it for X number of dollars.
Man, I scrub toilets on the weekends to make ends meet. There's no such thing. You do what you have to do to survive.
You did it. I get it. And that was built into me early on, but not everybody does that. You might say, if there's enough federal benefits here, I'd rather
Yeah, well,
hang out with me.
Hunger is a great motivator.
It can be, for sure. All right, coming right back. More with Congressman Jerry Carl. Your questions on the text line. We'll get these asked next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday. Our guest, Jerry Carl. And before we finish, too, you talked about this idea of the kind of reminiscent of the... what was it called? The gold card?
Yeah, the gold card, the president.
Yeah.
What, $1 million for citizenship?
Yeah.
So $1,000 you get... You get
11 months work visa.
Work visa. It is a pure work visa. It has nothing to do with immigration. Nothing. And this is one of those programs that the president really needs to sign as an executive order, because if you send it through the House or you send it through the Senate, it'll be so butchered, take a year and a half to get through there. And our contractors and our farmers can't wait that long.
You know, it's
got to get...
Well, it's frustrating, though. I mean, you're accurate, but I say it all the time. So many things are decided by executive order and fiat or go to the judicial branch, or because Congress can't do anything, you know, like this. And so, therefore, that is the job of Congress.
At least I'm admitting it.
Yeah.
You know, let's get it where it needs to go and get it done.
Okay. Grab some text here. Let's see. David. The most outrageous part of the whole Boeing tanker refueling contract story is that the Air Force wants to buy more of them without putting the contract back out for rebid.
And I was screaming about that also. That started about a year ago. My memory was right. And being on appropriate, or a little over a year ago, being on appropriations, but somebody needs to be investigated. Somebody needs to go to jail. I'm telling you, there is no way that it takes 12 years to build a plane that doesn't work.
This texture said, we still don't have a working tanker.
Right.
Get Elon to build one. Union issues with Boeing.
Well, I'm not going to blame the union. I'm just going to say Boeing at period. It's their responsibility. And their responsibility is to deal with the union. I mean, their mechanic, I think, just went out on strike. Now they're hiring to replace them. Well, that'll be another problem.
You know, and one of the things that, you know, when you first told me that they can't throw back is that it doesn't work with the American air assets, because we are currently using other countries' refueling tankers to refuel from the Airbus system.
Yeah. Okay. And the planes that we have had delivered, they're grounded. The key is they cannot refuel every aircraft they need to. And you get an F-15 fighter up there that has to be refueled, and it can't refuel that fighter jet, it's useless. It's totally useless to us. They've had a boom stuck through one of the aircraft. Don't know if that was pilot error or if it was a bad mechanic. I don't know, but it's a horrible situation for an American company to keep pushing the product on and on.
Can't believe with our, and there's so many other questions, we'll get back to the text, y'all, but with our military and our, you know, superiority in so many places, the places we're missing. And I'm not even talking about hypersonic weapons and some of those directed energy things like the Chinese showed off in their little parade the other day. Are interesting and scary. But we don't have a way. We can't get a refueling tanker put together. I mean, we get this great air assets from,
you know, Boeing does so many things. I mean, they're into satellites, they're into missiles, they're into aircraft, and they build a lot of things that work very well. But this is one that they've been snake bit from the very beginning.
Okay, to the text line here, Butterknife said to you, tell Jerry Carl, that the immigrants have artificially lowered wages, and that's a big problem in the United States, so take his visa and throw it away. This is just another example of how our electoral officials have no idea what the problem is.
I totally disagree with that. I mean, if you have to pay $16 an hour for someone to pick vegetables or fruit, or I think that's a fair wage. Now, with the inflation, I'd have to think through that a little bit more, because inflation is beginning to, to put a strain on everybody. But, you know, the inflation started with Biden anyway, when he printed money and just threw it at everybody.
Well, I think the sign of – and you might be right. It's
beginning to show, so.
Well, and if it wasn't for the illegal immigrant part of it, I would look at that story CNN had today where they're talking about the number of jobs, you know, how the unemployment rate's coming up. Unfortunately, that's how you get interest rates down. I mean, that's just the way it's always been. The Real Sam says, Jerry Curl just said that $16 an hour is a living wage. That's the problem. $20 an hour is not even a living wage, especially once they tax the hell out of it. I actually like Jerry Curl, but quite frankly, he has no idea what he's talking about in that regard.
Okay. Well, he's entitled to his opinion.
All right. This is from Michael that said, it's people won't do it for the price. Jerry grew up in a time when scrubbing toilets, when a father working and bringing home $25,000 a year could afford a family, home, vehicle, and groceries while his wife was a stay-at-home mom. In today's economy, the politicians have inflated everything to a point that a man can't afford all those things without making $150,000 plus. You can go to work at McDonald's making more than the $16 an hour instead of climbing on a roof or finishing concrete.
I would love to, this person, I would love to talk to them. They know what they're talking about.
Michael is a very regular texter. He's in the business.
I would love if Michael would reach out to me.
We'll put you all together.
Okay.
Natalie says the work visa is like this is already done in Europe, so I guess they do something like that.
I'm unaware of it, but sounds good. The Europe plan anyway.
Well, and you're saying that they come in, once again, this is not a path to citizenship. This is a, hey, you, instead of just coming in on a work visa, you pay for the work visa.
Yeah, and what we don't want, we don't want a lot of programmers coming in and getting low wages. Program is going to have to be something a little bit different. And that's for the president to decide. I put that in my notes, but he's got to decide who, what market. Because I'm looking at the skill market. I'm looking at construction and farm. That's okay. Where I'm getting my phone calls.
This from Martin said, I recall that a few miles of the border fence was also built by Boeing several years ago, and it was so high-tech that it rarely worked, and that's a damn fence.
Oh, gosh.
I didn't know Boeing was building fences.
I didn't hear that one. I know it's a very high-tech fence. I'll agree with that.
That it wouldn't work. While we're talking about building things, something that you and I have talked about several times here is, and it came with the tariff discussion and Chinese-made, not even flagships, but Chinese-made ships, and we were going to impose a fee of $1 million on every one of them that came in. You talked about getting ships built in the United States again, and I love that idea. I mean, heck, we build some. I mean, we're between Mobile and Ingalls. I mean, we're doing that, but it takes a long time to what we've shipped out, pun intended, to get it back in the United States. Okay. Any movements on that, like getting more ships made in the United States?
I'm not as much in the know as I used to be, so right. I don't have my finger on the pulse, but I know there's a lot of conversation. I know also, for example, just got two more Coast Guard vessels, I understand.
And we build those, but what about, like you had talked about, kind of a merchant marine fleet for the United States that's made in the United States?
Yeah, I don't think we're capable of building those large vessels here. So if you remember the conversation,
so then
I
why
said
would
the
we
large
tariff
vessels
one built somewhere else.
Yeah, the large vessels that are going to be built San Diego.
Okay.
They got a good deep water port. If large vessels being built there, that the new ones are going to be built there, we'll pick up all the smaller stuff. Smaller to us is pretty darn large vessels.
So, because, I mean, you talked about this when we first discussed it. You're like, you know, if we needed to mobilize U.S. troops.
Oh, we're in trouble.
That we wouldn't have, and because we would be dependent on materiel and everything. We'd be dependent on foreign flagged ships, which in the reality, I mean, if you go sit at the mouth of the bay, which I do, and you're looking at the ships waiting to come in and maybe trying to catch some fish around it, y'all. I don't think I've ever seen an American flagged ship.
Yeah, most people don't understand.
Liberia.
The flag tells you where it's listed.
Yeah. Panama, Liberia, I think that's
Panama
the
sells them pretty cheap compared to most countries. That's why you see so many Panamanian flags.
Right. I mean, so they do those. So we don't have many. If we had to mobilize material of the American flag ships, we'd have to depend on. Now, the carrier may be an international company, American company, English company or something, but their ships are flagged for another country.
Right. Right. Just like a car. They're registered in another country.
What about the people to work those, too? We also talked about, you know, I don't know. I mean, remember growing up, two buddies of mine whose dads had worked. One was currently was working during that time, and one had worked as merchant marine mariners.
Yeah, my dad was a merchant marine, so
that's
he,
right.
He would jump ships and go. But yeah, so many of them nowadays are being staffed by foreign staffs.
Do you think that's a weakness, or do you think that's
of course
for
it's
us?
A weakness? We need that here. We need our brothers on those ships too. I mean, from a security standpoint, just think about it. So, it's a feel that we have let get away from us,
it's these things around. That we have sent right. I mean, we started this 30 years ago. Actually, yeah, I mean the Carter administration.
I was going to say for
more than that. Yeah, 40. Started this idea that we would be the repository of intellectual and thought, but the building might would go away. Right. I mean, some of what Milton Friedman had said, and I've said I deal with this kind of push and pull as much as I'm the biggest Milton Friedman fan. There's some things that he said that were true if you lived in a vacuum without countries putting their finger on the scale. So, but we did this. We shipped this out, pun intended. You can't, that's the thing I guess I was frustrated about before. You can't get this done tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? You can't say, well, by tomorrow we'll have a bunch of ships made in the United States or this or that. This is a long-term plan.
Oh, yeah, it has to be a long-term plan. You can't just fire a shipyard up. And there's several shipyards. Philadelphia is a good example. There's shipyards down there they're trying to bring back up to standards. They've been sitting dormant for years, 30, 40 years.
So, how would you incentivize private companies to do that? Like, if they're not doing it now, it's obviously cheaper to do it somewhere else. How do we make it better to do it in the United States?
We do it every day. I mean, we did it with Austal. I mean, that's federal money helped stand that up. I mean, it was local money. I mean, county money, it was state money. It was all of us chipped in to get mm-hmm. Austal to a point. And it's freestanding now, and we have
3,500, I think.
Yeah, 3,500 jobs that add to our – we're getting our investment back if we hadn't already. And we have to we'll just have to do more of that.
We do that, but, I mean, we do that, and we talk about that's military. Let's do that for ships that aren't military. Right. Will there still be money there?
Shipyards are shipyards.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But they're not. Ingalls, different story. But right here, we're not building commercial ships.
Yep. But what? Well, the shipyards we have today that's building private vessels, they can be building military vessels.
Now, down the bayou, they're building some private vessels.
Are. Yeah, those are primarily push tugs and.
Back to the further.
But they're beginning to build some military stuff down there. They're doing a lot of co-op work with. With Austal and also Ingalls.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a couple.
Yeah, we talked about. Good. Well, Commissioner DeWitt and I talked about a couple of them that are making some moves down the bayou as
the
well.
Rice family, the Rodriguez's. Yep. I mean, they're really doing some incredible stuff down there.
Butterknife comes back and says, why not just stop companies from allowing the loopholes by using subcontractors and subcontractors that claim no responsibility?
I totally agree with that. You just got to figure out how to do it. And the problem with figuring out how to do it, then you have to pass it through the House, and then it goes to the Senate. By the time it goes through all that, you're a year down the road and can get nothing done. But I totally agree with that. We need to hold these people responsible that are actually putting these illegal workers, young workers, on a job site. That's the people ought to be paying the price.
Coming right back, more with Jerry Carl.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:51, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. I'll read these two for you. These two texts on either side. So Curtis says you cannot afford a home in the Bell Forest area if you make less than $150,000 a year. And then Brad texted in and said the BCL saga is, and I don't know BCL, that acronym, the BCL saga is evidence that the middle class is strong. Social media has everyone thinking they should be an elite. $16 an hour plus housing is good money for picking fruit. So there's two sides on.
Yeah, I think it is. Everybody wants to make more money. We all want to make more money. But we're talking about people that come here to work that sends their money back to an environment where $2 an hour is a lot of money. We're talking about people that live on, staple foods. They don't go out to eat like we do. I mean, we'll go and drop $100 at dinner you know, for two people at a steakhouse, you know, they'll eat the entire month on $100.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different lifestyle. Do you want everybody to be at that level? I think that's more socialist thinking than I want to go. I want the best to come to the top.
Fire Dog says, it reminded me, Austell builds non-military ships already, but then said, Jerry for president, or at least Congress. I always like speaking with him at events. Very personal. Personable. I need a yard sign. Okay.
Oh, so by all means.
Where do they get yard signs?
Well, right now they're in the back of my truck. Wait, we're not quite there yet, but I'd love to get him a yard sign.
Okay.
Just asked him if he'd reach out to me, and I hate to get my phone number over the radio,
I'd be more than glad
to share it with
you. Where do they go if they, yeah, if they had a question?
Jerry Carville Congress.
Okay, so they can go there and make a request for
website's up.
For a yard sign.
Yep.
All right. This one from unnamed texter. If Jerry reclaims his old seat, what is his top priority legislation?
You know, I'll go back on appropriations. I get to keep my seniority, so I'll get to go back on appropriation. You know, the priority right now is Trump. I mean, Trump's doing some incredible stuff, and we've got to be willing to get out there with him. I mean, inflation's beginning to take a toll. Everybody's feeling it. I'll argue the point that it started in the Biden administration when they started giving out free money. I think it's going to come to an end here pretty soon. I think the tariffs are going to work. I believe in fair trade. I believe, every man should be treated equally on the trade. So the biggest thing I'm going to do up there is go back and keep doing what I was doing. I think one of my weaknesses up there was communicating with constituents. I think I learned a lot, especially over the last 9 months talking to people, and they've felt a little more compelled to speak to me. So I think communications is one area I'll certainly improve in.
This is an interesting angle. Was from David, said, is it true that Space Command ended up in Colorado after Trump left office because the general in charge of it had a ranch out there and did not want to relocate to Alabama?
I heard that one. But
I've never heard that one.
But Biden had a lot of strong contributors from out there around the Denver area is what I've always blamed for. Yes, that's where the general's from, and I have heard that theory.
All right, and Brad, thank you for clearing it up. He said the BCL, the Big Creek Lake.
Oh, yeah.
Saga, which, by the way, Thursday on the show, y'all get ready. Guy who made a lot of news again yesterday out on Big Creek Lake, he and some friends fishing. Andy Ellsworth is going to join me on the show on Thursday, so put that on the to-do.
So what Moss has done, if you think about it, if I could just get my plug in there, because I love fishing Big Creek Lake. I'm a crappie fisherman. That's all I fish for there. But if what they say is true and they can stop us from fishing in municipal areas, that applies to virtually every city in America.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not that you can't do that. You can't do that. And there's been grasses and odd things in Big Creek Lake as long as I've fished it. I don't know who brought it in or where. It may be natural. I don't know. But they're trying to blame the fishermen for it right now. I don't see how you can prove that, because I've been fishing out there for 40 plus years and it's been the same.
Yeah, and that it can't come down, you know, through the drainage of Big Creek Lake and from elsewhere. That's it could come elsewhere, John Salvinia. But also, you know, you can look at this and get it back right to where people can fish it and then take some responsibility. Out west, you know, you go on certain trout streams, they'll be like, wash your boat.
Yeah, I've done
before that. You come in here. And, you know, the people that most interested in keeping that trout stream, and in our case, yep, that lake, you have to be responsible for it. So make sure you don't have a wet trailer that has, still living grasses on it from somewhere else that you fished, or in the case of zebra mussels, you don't have them, you do your part.
You know, Big Creek Lake, when you look at the fishermen out there, they're basically the same people, and that's where they fish. Some of them fish every day out there. It's mm-hmm. the only place they do fish, so... So to tell them they can't fish in that lake, I mean, that's an insult. I brought a boat back from the river just to fish up there, and then lo and behold, they shut it down. So I've got a boat been sitting in my barn for about 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a good-looking boat.
I would love to get out there and go fishing.
Earl says, on the subject of Big Creek Lake, I wonder if they pay property taxes on the land they own. He must mean Maws.
No. I would not think they would.
If that's a private lake, that should increase their acreage and the size of the lake.
They're not a private lake. I mean, they're not a private company. They're publicly...
Right, utility.
It's publicly utility. So every utility company's going to do that? How about Alabama Power? Let's just take Alabama Power. They own all the dams. They created all the lakes. And I'm not picking on Alabama Power. They do a great job. But I mean, if you're going to use that law and you start applying it across the board, we got real problems.
Well, and the state has responded. We're running out of time, but I talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Letter came out from Chris Blankenship, who's head of DCNR, and showed just state law-wise that the law shows that you can't shut down.
Right.
Like, he wasn't saying, here's my opinion. He's saying, we've gone and researched the law for the state, and here's what the state says. You know, and so it was pretty... And I can repost that on our social media, but he came out and said, you know, they checked, they got all the people and said, they can't do this.
Who appoints all the members on that board?
We got the, I think, is it all coming out of the mayor's office? I don't think so.
I think it's not.
I'll get that cleared up on who appoints the board at MAWS. There's some different.
Well, I've got enough problems. I don't need to get in that fight, but I do want to go fishing.
There you go. Let's get it and we'll go fishing. Once again, people once again asking for yard signs, saying there's some yard signs already in Baldwin County, but they go to your website and
please, give them. Please, jerrycarlforcongress.com, please.
Very good. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right, hour number two of Midday Mobile on the way.